Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So right now we're going to dive into something we as a culture don't like to talk about and don't understand very well, grief. We will all go through it at some point, even if you haven't. Whether you're someone who's grieving on the anniversary of 9/11, as so many are right now, grieving otherwise, or trying to help someone close to you dealing with a loss, this segment is for you. Megan O'Rourke, contributing writer for Slate, is author of the book The Long Goodbye. She's been writing a series on grief for Slate, and in the spring she conducted an online survey about the lived experience of grieving, and within a week she got almost 8,000 responses. She's been writing about the survey results and what we can all learn about how to better deal with the grieving process. So, Megan, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me.
And listeners, if you've dealt with a loss, call us up and tell us about what you wanted from your friends and family. And that's really the question, what you wanted from your friends and family as you were grieving. What were the right things to say and do, and what were the wrong things as you experienced them? And friends of mourners, call in to ask your questions about how to help your friend. Should you bring a casserole, send a condolence card, tell your friend that everything will be all right? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. There are already several thoughtful comments there about this and on our Facebook page as well. 212-433-9692 on the phone. So, Megan, you and your fellow survey writer, Liette Granek, both had lost your mothers and each had written about the process of grieving those losses. This is not a scientific survey, but you did get a huge sample of volunteers with 8,000, and the results are really interesting. You wrote that you were surprised at how basic the expressed needs were and how profoundly unmet many of these needs went. So what were those expressed needs?
Those needs were, you know, there was a wide variety, as you can imagine. I think one of the big takeaways for us from the survey was the reminder, which maybe we all intuitively know, that grief is really various. People grieve in very, very different ways. But among the needs expressed were the, you know, basic needs of help, company, support, and most importantly, I think, recognition of the specificity of the loss, right? So that if a friend of yours has just died, it's very, you know, understandable that you might say, oh, I'm so sorry, I've been through that, my own father died. But in fact, that can be really hurtful to the person who's just lost a father or a mother or a partner. Because
why?
Because they're mourning a specific person, and it's very, very fresh for them. So I think that it can be hard to kind of go into a story of someone else's loss, for example, right? We all want, you know, we don't want to be told right after a death that we're going to feel better, it's all going to be okay, or time heals all wounds. Many people want just recognition that this moment is very painful, that a specific person has gone from the world. Then there are more basic needs, right? Like you could bring over, you know, bringing over casseroles, offering to take someone to a movie, and not just saying, give me a call when you need it, but actually calling and specifically saying, on Wednesday night, would you like to go to a movie, or would you like me to bring dinner over, or something like that.
Rebecca in Wachung, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My father passed away March 24th. He was 84 years old. I was blessed to have actually been by his side and with him for the weeks prior to his passing. And what I found most comforting was when people would speak to me, old friends of his, I loved when they told me stories about my father, time that they spent with him, things, experiences that they had with him that were just little treasures for him as well. And they shared these stories with me, and it was just wonderful.
His friends sharing stories of him with you. Were there common mistakes that you felt your friends or others made that made you feel worse, even though unintentionally?
Well, I will tell you, I'm a teacher in an elementary school, and I found when I came back to work, I was kind of surprised at how many people didn't acknowledge my father's passing, whether it was with a comment or, you know, a sympathy, an expression of sympathy verbally or even through a card. I got very few of those, and I was quite surprised. So I certainly now make it a very big point that when I know someone has lost a loved one or a friend, I say something. I acknowledge that. Mm-hmm.
Rebecca, thank you so much for your call. You're nodding.
Yeah, I mean, what Rebecca said chimed with me. One of the things I read was that while it's hard to come up with universals about grief, one study did show that mourners often really crave hearing the name of the person who died, and that can be one of the first things to disappear. And also just that, you know, for many centuries through across cultures, private grief, you know, one's own personal grief and public mourning were closely tied together. And I think that's something that we're really struggling with now in this country.
In other words, there's an imperative to keep it private.
Yeah, and we don't know how we've and this is what we're trying to write about in the study, right? It's like we all have forgotten, as death and dying have become more divorced from the everyday, you know, death takes place in hospitals, it doesn't take place in the home, we experience death later in life generally. People are more uncomfortable with it, and even the most rudimentary, you know, kinds of gestures like saying "I'm so sorry for your loss" have in many cases disappeared for people.
Carrie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Carrie, thanks for calling in.
Hi. Yeah, I lost my sister unexpectedly 3 years ago, and I was telling the screener that there are some good friends of mine that just couldn't even say anything to me, and we're not friends anymore. And there are people that we were close and have become incredible supports. He just came out of the woodwork. And I really echo what your guest just said. I mean, if you don't know what to say, you just can start by saying you're sorry.
Who were the people who came out of the woodwork? Do they have something in common?
I think so. They were either people who were really sympathetic or empathetic types of people, or just some of them had things in common, and others of them were just people that I think just had that kind of deep sympathy. And those friendships have truly, they've been enhanced, and I've been so grateful for them.
Carrie, thank you so much.
Yeah, you know what Carrie just said reminded me that after my mother died, someone said to me, who knew me well, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, well, now you've joined the grief club, right? And one of the things I found was that, you know, people who had lost somebody did tend to understand the experience well and really come forward. And I think if you've gone through a loss and you've had that experience of feeling isolated with your grief, which I think many, many, many Americans have, you do make a point of reaching out after a loss, it seems to me.
Do you think that a lot of the acquaintances, and Carrie even said friends, but I think for the first caller, from watching, it was really more acquaintances who happened to work in the same school with her who didn't say anything. I mean, maybe some are just thoughtless, but maybe there's an impulse to not say anything to someone you don't know very well because you don't want them to have to feel bad all over again by being reminded of it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that we you know, when you're in the first flush of grief, it's hard to feel sympathetic to the people who aren't acknowledging it. But from this vantage point and from my own experience, I can say it's really difficult to know what to say. We're all, many of us, I think, are scared of putting our foot in our mouth. And one of the things we're talking about in the survey, and one of the things I talk about in The Long Goodbye, is that we've lost that script. We've lost these ways of knowing, kind of embedded cultural wisdom about how to handle a loss. And so it you know, the burden of talking to somebody rests on the acquaintance. It can be very difficult to know what to say.
Sandra in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hi, I'm going to try to talk through this without crying, but if I do cry, you have to just let me cry.
Promise.
So that's the first thing, is that if a friend does start crying, just let them and tell them it's okay to cry. Don't ever say don't cry. So I lost my mother this year on February 11th. I lost my dad this year on July 12th. They were very close together, and it's been very difficult for me and my brother. I was their caretaker. So one of the biggest things that a friend can do especially is to say that they'll be there for you and to actually help you with some of the tough things. So like one of the most difficult things is having to pack up my mother's and father's clothing and actually give it away or donate it or throw it away. And that's just really, really hard, but it has to be done. And I have a friend who said that she would come with me and help me to do that. I mean, and it seems like such a small thing for another person, but it's huge for me. And to also not forget the person a week later after the funeral, because in the Christian religion we have a wake before the funeral, but then a week, a month later, everybody goes back to their normal routine and you're just left alone. So the fact that you remember that the person is still out there, still cleaning up the mess, it's going to go on for me for at least another year, cleaning up all my parents' things. And selling their properties, and it just continues. So just to remember the person, let them cry, and give them as much time as possible that they need.
Yeah, you made at least three great points there. And, you know, one thing I picked up on, Sandra, is that you mentioned the precise dates of your parents' deaths. And on our website, we have a comment from Dee in Brooklyn who writes, "Remember to continue to ask how the person is doing, especially for the 1 and 2 years anniversary, and especially remember the first anniversary. Obviously, we're heading into these very loaded anniversary dates." Dee writes, the 10th anniversary of 9/11, and Dee says, "Knowing what you call the person's death dates is meaningful."
I remember the day and the time. I remember the exact time they died.
Yeah.
So it's that prominent in your mind.
We remember when our children are born. To the minute we remember when our parents died, and maybe other loved ones. Thank you so much, Sandra.
I just want to, I would echo everything Sandra said. I think that she, you know, this idea of acknowledging the loss, so letting someone cry, letting them feel their grief. We have an impulse to want to rush through. You know, I think if you have a good friend who's suffering, it's normal to want them to not suffer, but the suffering is part of the actual observing of loss, right? And the death dates are incredibly important for people. And there are all these really interesting, again, studies that have been done that show people actually get ill on anniversaries of a lost one's death and so on and so forth. It's a very vexed, intense time, as we all know.
What do you say second? You say first, "I'm sorry for your loss."
Yeah. You know, here's the thing I think is the most helpful, and this is one of the things that's so difficult about grief, it's that there isn't really a set of rules. But I think the main thing I can say is that you want to kind of mirror what the other person is doing. So if they seem like they want to talk about their lost one, if they seem open to that, I would go ahead and tell a story, or, you know, use the person's name and just say, "Your mother was always so lovely. You know, I always, you know, Richard did X, Y, or Z," just to be very specific and offer an anecdote or a story. The other thing you might say second is, you know, what can I do to help? I'd like to take you out next week. I'm going to call and see. Of course, if you don't feel up to it, that's okay too, right? But being very concrete about an offer of assistance, like Sandra's friend who helped her clean out the closets.
Megan O'Rourke, author of the book The Long Goodbye, and she's been writing a series on grief for Slate, and conducted an online survey about the lived experience of grieving, and within a week got almost 8,000 responses. We're talking about what people in grief need from their friends and loved ones, and what of those needs tend to go unmet. So we're taking calls both from people who've experienced grief and needs met or unmet, and those who have supported or tried to support. And Livia in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on, and thank you so much for covering this topic. It's so important and it's so painful. So thank you.
Thank you.
The thing that I have to say is I still get upset about it. You know, he died about 15 years ago.
Who did?
But my stepfather died, and I was very, very close to him. And I didn't get the counseling and the therapy that I needed right away. And I'm still going through a lot of grief over that loss. Years later, you can hear it in my voice.
Yes.
So I really want to encourage people to go out there and get help in the form of therapy, even if your friends are wonderful and supportive and doing everything that you guys are talking about doing in terms of supporting them.
Do you find that some particular kind of grief counseling was effective for you?
I didn't get specifically grief counseling. Eventually, when I did get help, I just saw a therapist and really talked about this, and I'm still working through it years later, because it'll stay with you and it'll hurt you for a long time and lead to dysfunctional relationships and, you know, all kinds of difficult things unless you really when it's fresh, you get that help. And I actually have a resource to recommend for people. One of the reasons why I didn't get help for a long time is because I couldn't afford therapy.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to New York Counseling Services, and it's wonderful. It's a really, really great place that works on a sliding scale. And I'm finally getting the help that I need for my grief.
Livia, thank you so much. And
you're
thanks
welcome.
For passing
thank
along
you.
that tip for others. Let's get one more call in. Jonathan in Port Washington. Jonathan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Why do you think 97% of our callers, everybody but you, has been a woman?
Wow, I don't know. I couldn't even begin to tell you.
I better ask our guests. I don't mean to put you on the spot. And you called to talk about your grief, and we have about 45 seconds for you, I just have to tell you.
Sure. Well, it's funny. The thing that I was noticing that most of the people are talking about their mothers, and a few fathers in there as well. And my mother died. It was just over 10 years ago, and on January 26th at 8:17 a.m.
And remember the minute?
I do. I realized that when the caller before mentioned that she remembered the exact minute. And the thing that struck me is that I was with my mother when she passed away. I was holding one hand, my brother was holding the other hand, and my father was rubbing her feet. And, you know, we sent her off.
And forgive me, I'm so sorry to have to do this, but what did help you the most?
Being able to talk about the moment when she died, because we did not, people don't want to talk about it, but being able to share that experience, it was one of the most precious experiences of my life. And I needed to be able to talk about that, so people were very uncomfortable with it.
Thank you very much for sharing that. And again, Megan, we have 30 seconds, but you're nodding your head.
Yeah, I just want to say, one of the things I try to write about in the series and in the book, The Long Goodbye, which is about the lived experience of loss, is this idea that I think grief in some ways is the last taboo in our culture. We have a really difficult time talking about it, and yet it's a universal thing, and we all do need to share it and talk about it. We all experience it in some way.
Why were 97% of our callers female?
You know, apparently, well, some people would tell you women are more, talkative about their grief. Men tend to be more do things like go garden, take care of their daughter's garden and talk about it less.
Megan O'Rourke has been writing a series on grief for Slate, and she's the author of the book on the topic, The Long Goodbye. Thank you so much for sharing your research with us and sitting in and taking these wonderful calls.
Thank you so much for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.